So, Brian, you are a native of Colorado Springs and have worked your way up through the ranks, really in a kind of an old school journalism way, just by putting in your time. Your first job as a photographer was as a lab tech at the Gazette, and then you've moved up to the point now where you're taking photos for AP. You've had shots in the New York Times. What's it like to cover these really international news events right here in your own backyard, these disasters that have been happening in the past few years?
It's very heartbreaking. I'm not going to lie. This is my town. I would much rather be photographing kids playing in a park than seeing houses destroyed, you know, lives ruined. And I've had friends lose their homes in flooding as well as fires. So it's been a challenge for me to actually get up there and do this, believe it or not. But with that said, I know that there's a big story here that needs to be shared with the world. And I'm just honored to be able to do that.
The Waldo Canyon fire ended up being the most destructive at the time in state history. And you took some of the iconic shots of that fire. There was the photograph of a ranger on the horse in front of the plume in the Garden of the Gods. And you also took shots of Cedar Heights, of helicopters dropping water, and obviously some pictures of mountain shadows that folks can see online at KRCC.org if you want to go look at those. Disaster photography has some inherent constraints or limitations. And how do you approach the chaos of that fire with also this, you know, part of your creative brain?
You know, when you're a photojournalist, you kind of see things in a storytelling kind of way. And in fact, I kind of do that with a lot of things in my life because of it. And I looked at it and I said, there's a story that's going on here. You know, I'm going to do my best to make it happen. I'm going to have to move around a lot. And in doing that, you got to think about your safety. And you got to think about people's reactions and their privacy in some instances. And, you got to kind of put all that together. And then you got to go out there and just try to make the best storytelling situation that you can. And, you know, at the same time with Waldo and Black Forest, you're watching people's houses burn down. And so, you know, there is a lot of pressure to have to produce. I mean, you know, there's an expectation that you're going to do your job and that you need to do it better than everybody else. And to be a successful photographer that gets your photos on the cover of a magazine or a newspaper, you know, you have to really think about how you're going to do this, and you have to make sure your equipment's good and everything's up to par, and you just got to use your instincts, and that's what we all do. It's not an easy thing to do. Anybody can get out there and whip out a camera and take a picture, but who's going to be able to take that picture that's going to speak to you? And that's what we're trying to do.
What is that picture for you in having covered Waldo Canyon and the Black Forest fire? And I mean, for the Black Forest fire, the photo of yours that stands out to me the most is the meadowlark on the barbed wire fence in front of the plume. That was obviously another image of yours that made its way around quite a bit. What is that thing that you're looking for? Do you even know at the time?
No, I don't know at the time. I mean, since it's so unpredictable, you know, you're just trying to figure out how to make the best photograph out of the situation. And, you know, obviously there's a big giant plume of smoke up in the sky and there's your picture and there's people looking at it. But I always try to think outside that box, and that bird image is actually my favorite one. To me, I actually was thinking about the Waldo Canyon fire when the Black Forest fire was raging. I mean, I couldn't believe it was happening again. And I think in a way I was kind of looking for a little bit of peace in the situation. At that point, I had a gut feeling that a lot of homes were lost. Maybe even people had died. And it just was moving too fast. So to me, that photo was in the perfect spot at the perfect time. And it really did make me feel some comfort.
When you're pulling all these images up on your computer and editing them, then what are you looking for? What grabs you?
Well, you know, the first thing I'm thinking about is I got to get something out now. You know, somebody somewhere needs something now. So in my mind, I already know what images I think are probably going to be the ones that are going to speak the loudest, tell the story completely. And I go straight to those photos first. Then I send them out to where they need to be sent. Usually, the first thing that I do is send them to the editors in New York when I'm on assignment with Associated Press. And, you know, I know which images are going to be the best. But with that said, it's kind of interesting after I send those photos to go back in and see that I missed some gems. And talking about the Black Forest Fire and the photos that I got, the bird on the fence was something that I missed in my original edit. So I guess the lesson there is slow down a little bit, even though you know you're rushed. But part of that being rushed in that situation is your adrenaline is pumping. You just witnessed something pretty horrible. And, you know, I think that's where the pros shine. They can calm down, do what they need to do, and get what they need to get out as soon as possible. That's the hardest part. But, you know, we're good at it. That's why we do it.
When you're photographing, you're also a historian, obviously, and there's already work of yours in a history exhibition, you know, about the Waldo Canyon fire at the Pioneers Museum. What's it like when an image moves from news to history?
That's a dream come true for me. I love history. History was my major in college. So to me, it's just an extension of that whenever I'm out doing photography and the situation happens where it becomes a part of history, man, that's the dream for me. With that said, I again wish that I would have never taken those pictures, you know, but at the same time, I can't control that and it did happen. And that's a real honor. It's truly an honor.
You had another photo recently with the flooding in Manitou on August 9th. You weren't able to get into Manitou, and instead you took this photo of a woman with a rainbow umbrella standing on the bridge over Camp Creek, which is the ditch that runs down 31st Street. How did you handle that situation? You knew you weren't going to be able to get into Manitou. What kind of decisions did you have to make at that point?
I was really bummed. I didn't get in there. In fact, I was on Kiowa, and I was trying to actually cut across 31st Street and go up Pikes Peak Avenue and kind of, you know, see if I can get in that way. Purely with safety on my mind, I need to stress that I always go into those situations thinking, am I going to be safe? Am I going to cause anybody problem? Okay. So I watched the police block that off, and I was about four cars away, and I was kind of heartbroken at that point. I knew that I wasn't going to get in. And, you know, so at that point, I'm thinking, I just got to try to do the best I can with what I have. And there it was. There's this girl with this beautiful umbrella just watching, you know, this muddy, ashy, horrible-looking water flowing down the street, you know, potentially harmful, I might add. And I was like, there's my picture. Thank God. It's right there in front of me. I knew that I had a good picture.
And where'd that photo end up?
That photo ended up being used by the New York Times. That was kind of cool.
That's great. Brian Aller, thank you so much.
Thank you.